Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 257 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. In this episode, we look at India's T20 playing style. This episode is a pertinent reminder of India's performance after the ODI World Cup 2023 and the series versus Australia, South Africa and Afghanistan that followed. We reflect on all the major talking points from those T20 series, the importance of the IPL that's upcoming and how the squad is shaping up for the marquee ICC Men's T20 World Cup later this year. Joining us on the podcast for the discussion, we have Divya. He is currently pursuing a BBA honours at Ahmedabad University. He has been a cricket enthusiast since childhood and follows the game passionately. He aspires to excel in the sports industry and also runs an Instagram page called Cricket Insights. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi Divya, welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. I feel again this was a collaboration that had to happen after a really long time. And we are kind of, you know, evaluating India's T20I style because we have had a couple of very interesting series, right? The one versus Australia, then versus South Africa, and now, you know, against Afghanistan, which I think gives us a lot of talking points. So yeah, to kickstart a discussion, what are your first thoughts on everything that has transpired?
Yes, our last discussion was about WTC final. So it was on our test side, and this now we will discuss about T20. So it would be a nice discussion, and also talking about the T20 team we have. We have a mixture of experience and the young talent we have, like Rinku, Jaiswal. So yeah, looking forward to the discussion.
Absolutely, because right now I think the Indian T20 side is particularly in the middle of a very interesting transition, because when we look at that T20I series against Australia, like what were your major takeaways? Because if you observe that series at large, India raced off to, you know, two wins, and then Australia makes a comeback only for India to win the next two matches. So what were your thoughts on that series and takeaways?
Yes. Talking about that series, what just after the World Cup final loss, and all of us were like, we will not watch cricket and all. But the first three matches were all high scoring matches, and all the true cricket fans started watching cricket again. If we talk about match by match, the first match we saw Sky Masterclass while chasing, proving why he's such a valuable asset for our T20 side. Also, Inglis also played well in the first innings. Especially how he faced Bishnoi. I was quite shocked when I saw him go unsold in the IPL auction. But yeah, each side in IPL do have a wicketkeeper, so that might be the reason. Also, second T20 was a run fest for both the sides. Talking about 30-20, Maxwell destroyed our bowling lineup. The important thing about the fourth T20 was the spinners sealed the match for us. The way Akshar and Bishnoi has performed in the series was quite exceptional. In the last match also, Akshar was a man of the match, and his all-round performance took India to a 4-1 series win. So major takeaways from this series would be the spin duo, Bishnoi and Akshar, which I would like to see in the World Cup too. And the heroics from Sky, Rinku and Jaiswal. Both Rinku and Jaiswal scored 100 plus runs with a strike rate of 170 in the series. I was just analyzing the stats of this T20, so I do have the numbers.
Absolutely. I mean, some very valid points you bring in. And as you rightly pointed out as well, this was a series immediately after the World Cup. A lot of us were hurting and experts were being extremely critical of everything that kind of transpired. But I think what was an interesting pattern to this series was how a lot of seniors missed out, right? So what did you make of it, like in the absence of Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul, Hardik Pandya is not there. Did you think like the backbone of this T20 side was missing, or did you just think of it as an opportunity for the youngsters to perhaps stake their claim in the side?
Yes, I would definitely see it as an opportunity for the youngsters because the seniors missing the Australia series was obvious given the two West Indies first, then three ODIs versus Australia, and then the World Cup. So their workload management was important. But yeah, talking about that, it was exciting to see how the future potentials perform in their absence. And we were not disappointed after what we saw from the Rinku, Jaiswal, and the other spinners. So I have prepared like a analysis for this 3T20 series, and the players for the in focus would be Jaiswal, Rinku, Akshar, Bishnoi, Mukesh, and Harshdeep. The reason being that they are the potential alternatives if we talk about the of the senior players like Gill, or if you talk about Jadeja, Kuldeep, and the third pacer.
Certainly, I think these youngsters have really stepped up when the team needed them the most. And also, you know, for the team under transition, we have ready replacements, which is certainly a welcome sign. Now, looking at, again, you know, that series versus South Africa, which came immediately after the Australia one, we again saw a lot of players miss out. Yet, we got to see quite an interesting series. So, how would you assess all those matches? Even though, you know, rain played spoilsport, but seeing our players perform, you know, exceptionally well in foreign conditions was a welcome sight for you?
Yes, definitely. Because main players like Rohit Kohli and Bumrah were missing, but also the series saw Jaddu, Kuldeep, and Siraj come back. But I do see it as a shocking move because the way Bishnoi and Akshar performed in the last series, because Bishnoi was the MOTS man of the series in the series, as he had 9 wickets and economy rate of 8. Also, talking about Akshar, he has played brilliantly last year in the T20s, and he had an economy rate of 6.2, and he also picked 6 wickets. So, still they got dropped and the when the seniors returned. So, nothing against Jaddu and Kuldeep, as they both have played exceptionally well in the ODIs last year. But India needs to be clear whether they want to genuinely play the youngsters or they're only supposed to play in the seniors' absence. So this was my only concern in the series.
That's actually a fair point, and that's something, you know, we will reflect on perhaps a little later on in this episode as well. Now, talking more about the South Africa series, I think the first T20I was unfortunate, right? It was washed off. And the second one was again rain interrupted and South Africa won because of that DLS method. And the third one, India secured an easy win. But still the series ended on like 1-1. So what are your major reflections from that series? Like, we saw a lot of players come back, as you pointed out, but there's still a lot of positives to take away.
Yes. So the first match was washed out. But talking about the second match, we were like around 55-3 in the power play itself. And Rinku being a finisher, but he still came in power play and took India to 280 and he remained not out. That's a great sign, as he can not only finish the games for India, but can also save us from the collapse. And this will be required in the knockouts for India, as we have seen in the last years. Talking about Sky also scored a T20 100, yet another in another country. I think it was his fourth. He has won in England, New Zealand, and now in South Africa also. So there is no doubt that Sky has rooted his spot for the number 4 in T20Is. Apart from him, Siraj's comeback was brilliant. He also bowled a maiden over and started brilliantly in the third T20. And also Kuldeep ended with a fiver. And doing it in South Africa's conditions is an achievement in itself.
Definitely. I think these players definitely make the top of our list of performers. And reflecting more on Sky, now he was also the skipper, right, for the Australia series
Yes.
and the South Africa one. With the bat, he was so prolific. But how would you assess Surya Kumar Yadav, the captain, right? Because a lot of people were like, hey, is he your right option? You have so many other players in the reckoning who could perhaps take their spot. But what are your two cents on him, leading the side?
Yeah, I would say he captained the side well, given the resources he had. But personally, I don't see him as a future Indian captain. As we have better alternatives like Hardik, Rahul, and Bumrah too. I think he should not opt for the captaincy pressure if he wants to play for the coming 4 to 5 years. He is a brilliant batter, no doubt in that.
Certainly. And I think another important discussion thread is how a lot of people questioned why Virat and Rohit were included for the Afghanistan series, right? That kind of preceded this South Africa one. So what are your thoughts on their presence in the T20I setup? And do you think maybe, after this T20 World Cup, it's maybe time for them to, hang their boots and focus more on tests and ODIs?
Yeah, definitely. After this World Cup, I think they should retire from T20s, but they deserve the spot in the T20 World Cup, no doubt about that. Many people were against that, but frankly speaking, I was waiting for that announcement. I really wanted them to have a last shot at an ICC T20 trophy. They have tried their level best in 2016. 2022 was not a good outing, but yeah, 2014 too. So I think they deserve a last shot at the trophy. Also, over the last 10 years, their contribution has been invaluable, and the experience they carry, they deserve their spot in the T20 side. Again, it might be harsh on Jaiswal or Rinku, as one of them might miss the World Cup, but yeah, we can't do much about that.
Definitely, that is food for thought. And talking now in depth about the Afghanistan series, what were your first observations from that 3-0 routing? Because Afghanistan coming into this series was definitely not the underdog, right? We've seen how they've scripted some remarkable victories against your major test playing nations, and they have produced such wonderful stars who've kind of played for the IPL as well. So were you expecting like a more fierce competition from their end? And in general, how did you find the series to be?
Yes, they really played well. They did not have Rashid in the side, or else we might have seen a 2-1 probably. But talking about how Rohit and Kohli returned to the side, they were showing intent, and that is very important because T20, we all know, we have to play aggressive, and people do talk about that Rohit and Kohli have strike rate of around 140 in T20s, but one needs to anchor, definitely. So I think Kohli will anchor in the T20 World Cup probably, but in the second T20 when Kohli was playing, he was quite playing positively, and I think he had 29 in 15 or so. So that that's a 200 strike rate, and I think that was pretty well. And Rohit, unfortunately, he was run out in the first T20, and second T20 he was bowled on zero. But for a player of such a caliber like Rohit, he will come back for sure, and he did in the third T20. We cannot talk anything except Rohit for the third T20, how he scored the 100, how he saved us in the super over. As I told that I will talk about Rinku and Jaiswal, they both had one innings each of around 60. Rinku in the 30-20 itself, because we were like 25-4-4, and we might have just been bowled out in around 60 or so, but Rinku and Rohit saved our team again. And I think Jaiswal played well in the second T20. So I think now Gill's spot has gone. I think if we are open with Rohit and Jaiswal, it will be correct. But if we want to play Rinku, we can also opt for Rohit and Kohli to open. Also, yeah, the Afghanistan series, Dubey stole the show because he really played an all-rounder's role. People do see him as the Hardik's replacement, but I don't think it is appropriate. If Hardik is injured, then we can consider Dubey. Otherwise, not.
Fair enough. And also, you know, talking about India's batting unit, now you brought in a lot of these permutations and combinations that, you know, probably India can explore going ahead. But at last, do you think India's batting seems settled, or do you think, you know, the IPL will give us a good indication of things to come?
Yes, yes. A lot of the batting combination will depend on the IPL, how the players in contention for the selection perform in the IPL. But I think what India should go with is Rohit and Rahul to open, if Rahul is considered as a batting wicketkeeper. So Rohit, Rahul can open, Kohli and Sky, then Rinku. I want Rinku in the 20 side because over the last year, the way he has played. If Hardik is fit, then Hardik, otherwise Dubey. Then Akshar. Akshar and Jadeja is also quite debatable. But I would say Akshar has played well in the last year. So Akshar, then Bishnoi. Again, between Bishnoi and Kuldeep, you need to choose. And yeah, that would depend on their IPL performances. Then Bumrah, Siraj, and the third pacer again between Mukesh, Harshdeep or Shami. Yeah, but yeah, we need to talk about the batting team. So batting wise, I think choosing between Jaiswal and Rinku is a must because both of them cannot play together. So it depends on their IPL performances majorly.
Certainly. And even as Hardik Pandya comes back to the squad, you know, many people felt that Shivam Dubey may not really get a go ahead. So whose team are you on? You know, having Shivam Dubey on or Hardik Pandya when he comes back?
Yeah, if Hardik Pandya comes back, it's definitely Hardik Pandya, no doubt in that.
Fair enough. And even, you know, when we look at India's bowling, a point that you did reflect on fairly in your previous point, has seen a lot of changes, right? Now you have the likes of Ashdeep, Mukesh, who have made their inroads into this T20 setup. How convinced are you with the bowling setup? And do you still think, you know, having, say, a Shami or Bhuvi would add a lot of value to that bowling lineup?
Yes, I don't think Bhuvi will be given chance because he has been out for the contention previous year. But yeah, Shami is a good option if he performs well in the IPL. Apart from that, if we talk about the pace battery, I think three pacers will play in West Indies. Bumrah and Siraj are locked, I guess. But the third pacer is really tough to choose. And if we talk about the pacers that have recently played, Ashdeep and Ashdeep, Avesh and Mukesh. Majorly, Ashdeep and Mukesh have played. So, the problem is both of them leak a lot of runs. Like, they have economic rate of 10. Both of them have an economic rate of 10. And the wickets they have picked is Mukesh has picked 9 and Ashdeep has picked 8 wickets in the three series we are talking about. So, I don't think India should choose from both of them. Or if one of them performs well in IPL, then yeah, choose from them. But I think Shami or any other fast bowler who performs well in the IPL should be the third pacer for India. And talking about spinners, it is another difficult choice between Akshar and Jadeja, Bishnoi and Kuldeep. I think Bishnoi and Akshar should be continued based on their performances, but yeah, our selectors do prefer experience over young talent, so we never know.
That is actually quite true. And looking at that third T20 as well, which is happening in Bangalore, it was an absolute riot. No, I mean, we witnessed like two super overs and Rohit Sharma's batting masterclass. What were your key takeaways from that match? And somewhere, you know, the way Afghanistan also batted, you know, chasing that total, due credits to them for coming up that well in the series.
Yeah, the way Gulbuddin Nayib has batted throughout the series, I think he had his last 50 in 2015 or some, and now he just played so well against India in India. All credits goes to him, and also the way Gurbaz started the innings, and so yeah, Afghanistan has really played. They are considered underdogs, but I personally do not consider them as underdog because they can beat any side when if it's their day. Also, talking about the series, if we talk about what India can consider positive is the return of Rohit, the way he played in the 30-20. A lot of questions were started arising when he failed in the first two T20s, but he is the one opener for sure, and now the other opener is to be decided.
Definitely, I think a lot of spots are still up for grabs. And although, you know, we have at large reflected on the positives, do you think there are still some areas for India to work on from all the series combined?
Yes, the critical area is definitely the third pacer India will choose, as I already talked before. Bumrah and Siraj should play, but would be the third pacer is really difficult because I don't think India chose the correct bowlers to play in the in this three T20s we had, as we did not have enough matches also, and I thought a batting a bowling all rounder would have been a correct choice for the third pacer, like someone like Deepak Chahar, or also a left arm pacer is also a good option, but we only have I think Arshdeep and Natarajan, and also CSK's last year CSK played Mukesh, and yeah, he was also a good bowler, but I think fast bowler third fast bowler is a area to work on. Also, which wicketkeeper is India going to play? Because India was first playing with Ishan Kishan, then he was dropped. I don't know. I think he was in depression or some disciplinary action was taken. Was that the case?
Oh no, with Ishan Kishan, I believe it was a case of him asking for a break because of mental fatigue and repeated traveling. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So India started with Ishan Kishan. Then we played Jitesh Sharma. Then in the last T20, we gave chance to Sanju Samson. We also are talking about Rishabh Pant making comeback.
True.
We also have KL Rahul. So five alternatives and only one would play. So this again depends on the IPL performances.
Definitely. I think we again have so many options for the same spot. And that's why, you know, the IPL becomes such an important parameter to gauge success and who would, you know, walk right into the squad at any given moment. And even looking at this discourse of how, you know, each T20 series is important, right, from a World Cup scheme of things. But how deeply do you read into these bilateral series results? Because at the end of the day, it's how you perform at the World Cup, right? I mean, bilateral series will keep happening. You win a few matches, you win the series, but somewhere, you know, crossing that final hurdle of an ICC World Cup will be important for India.
Yes, if we talk about the past few years, we have been winning the bilateral series in India, in overseas, but when the current situation arrives, it's like in the knockouts, we do fail. So we need players who can perform in those current situations. I think Rinku is one of them, and also I think we need bowlers also who can bowl in those moments. Also, talking about T20 World Cup, I think Sky needs to play really well, because in the last T20 World Cup also, he played really well in the group stages, and then he failed against England in the semi-final. So we need players like who can perform in the knockouts. From where we can find them, I think even in bilateral series we can get them. If it is a three-match series and we are 1-1, if both the teams are 1-1 each, the how players perform in the 30-20 can be a measure to choose the players. Also, we can see the players' performances in the IPL knockouts if the teams do qualify for them. So yeah, these are the ways we can choose players who can perform in knockouts.
Certainly. And even as we reach the end of our discussion, like, how much are you looking forward to the World Cup, right? Because this kind of might be the last one for stalwarts like Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, as if they're selected. And even when you look at India's chances, how bright do they seem? Because we don't have a problem, right, when it comes to talent or skill set. But it is just about making the most of those clutch situations that have kind of costed us so much. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yes, even if you look at the last year's World Cup final, Australia was not the best side, I guess, throughout the World Cup. But the way they played on the day of the final, they outplayed us. So that's the thing we need. And talking about India's chances at the T20 World Cup, I think we will definitely qualify for the knockouts. There is no doubt in that, but to win the knockout, I think Rohit or Kohli definitely needs to step up, as this will be their last dance in the T20 World Cup, I think. And also, I think players like Rinku or Bumrah will be the key bowler also. So yes, I think India has chances to finally end their ICC trophy draw. Also, given the fact that it is a 20-nation tournament, it will be exciting, as people do talk about that football, a lot of nations play, but cricket, it is a 10-nation sport or something. But ICC giving chances to this associates countries is really nice, and we might see two or three upsets also.
Certainly, there is a lot to look forward to. And yeah, on that note, I'd like to draw curtains on this discussion. Thank you so much, Divya, for actually, you know, taking time off your busy schedule and joining me on the podcast. It was lovely, you know, evaluating India's T20 style, because we don't have a lot of series in the run-up to that World Cup, and we have the IPL, which is going to occupy such a big part of that calendar. So yeah, you know, reflecting on this bilateral series hopefully gives our listeners also a lot of perspective. And here's hoping, you know, we can have you back on the podcast. And until next time, stay safe and take care. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads, and @NeverOnTheBack1 on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Never on the Back Foot is also on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to the channel and stay tuned for a lot of insightful content coming up there. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.